The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
I couldn't resist. That's Harry's favorite song, and I
never heard it before, but I like it.
Oh, I thought you would. Here.
Kind of a toast.
The crowd around him. These were the very words that he said. Well, I went down to St. James and Burberry to see my baby there. She was stretched out on the long white table, so cold, so pale, so fair.
I see why you like this.
Better go, God bless her.
Never
heard of her. Well, as she may be, you can search this whole world over, never find a banjo player like me.
All right, listen to this solo here. All right, now tell me what that instrument was.
An organ with a bad electrical short?
No. It's a carpentry tool. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, a saw.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that it? They call that, when you do that, you're a sawyer. Like
Okay.
But anyway. That's good, huh?
No, that's interesting.
Here, I got it. They're coming up here to the conclusion. I'll play the end of it.
You're going to lose half your listeners here.
No. These people are open-minded, culturally based.
Oh, good.
This is American South music from Florida.
Is that what it is? Okay.
St. James Infirmary Blues.
Okay. I got that on an old...
I figured you would.
Now. It's an old 33 and a third by Hoyt Axton.
Now, check this out.
Do that all on a saw. Jeez.
Yeah, it's a saw, and she's playing it with a violin bow. Exactly. Yeah. And the guy is sitting there next to her on a suitcase, and he's got a foot pedal with a bass drum hammer on it, and he's clunking his suitcase with
amazing.
His foot. And the other foot has a jingle bells on it. And he's playing the banjo, too. I'll send you this. Hey, I know you'll want to see this, so I'll send it.
Yeah, why not? Zip it on over to me. You know,
All right.
I said it. I got that song by Hoyt Axton.
Yeah.
Who that was?
Yeah, I remember Hoyt Axton.
Do you? Okay.
He was
about Hoyt Axton.
He was the lead tenor in the Mormon Tabernacle. Now, what is it? Choir?
Not even close. Tabernacle. Not even close. No, he was a hootenanny kind of singer back in the days of the folk music. But his mother is the one that wrote Heartbreak Hotel for Elvis Presley.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
Very good. Well, and, we have
also
a lot
wrote,
of...
Don't Give a Damn About a Greenback Dollar, Spend It Fast as I Can.
She wrote that too?
Yeah, his mother wrote that too. I used to be a disc jockey when I was in the Air Force.
That and handling nuclear bombs, that's...
Well, that was when I was on duty, but I was a disc jockey at the USO.
Interesting.
It was a lot of fun.
One of those DJ guys.
Say again?
A DJ guy.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's fun. See what how
met,
much fun we had here?
A lot of girls that way. A lot of girls hung out at the USO.
Well, I figured there was a reason you were there.
Somebody told me I have kind of an insatiable ego.
Insatiable.
Ego.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you're just a humble, kind, generous man.
We're talking about the same Harry Cooper here?
No, I guess I got it wrong. We have a lot of information for all of you tonight. We're going to have more fun. If that wasn't enough fun for you, don't go anywhere. And by all means, go to the homepage and look at guests. And we have some things to cover tonight. We're going to do some things we've never done before here in terms of historical investigations and so forth and talk. Fascinating. Without question, in World War II, and we all know that the Germans had enormous underground networks of facilities, tunnels, bomb shelters, manufacturing centers. They were making Messerschmitt 262s inside of a mountain. Just extraordinary things. Necessity is the mother of invention, and they were geniuses at inventing. The biggest of all the underground projects of Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, or Reich, was the project at Owl Mountains. The Owl Mountains in Silesia, which is now Poland but used to be German, was a project the scope of which is just mind-bending. And I've got several links up there for you that you can click on. In fact, the first link will give you a lot of good information. The Astonishing German Owl Mountain Project. You can click on that, and they're all good, but that's particularly interesting because they've got videos. I think that's the right one. They've got videos and other things to look at. The Owl's Mountain. Even this first one shows the underground complexes. Was a series of massive underground tunnel constructions that led to basically what was being built were underground, we're talking under mountains, factories. Probably would have, had they been finished, employed thousands and thousands of workers to run these factories. They were going underground.
To where they did have a huge amount of people in there, as I found out from one of my SIEG agents. But go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No. And this first link will show you drawings of the underground tunnels and chambers. And these were not little idle tunnels. These were railroad train-sized tunnels. No, don't think about gold, Nazi gold in there. That's not the deal. It's railroad trains going in to bring in raw materials and to take out finished products. That was the plan. So these tunnels, the transit tunnels, were enormous. And then they led to chambers for the actual factory equipment and where the workers would work. This was just an enormous project that no one talks about. So you talk to one of your top informants today, and you learned a lot more than I know, but I've been reading about this for a couple of years. So tell us the story.
Learned a whole lot more than what you're going to find on the internet also.
Yeah.
The one you've got up there that I clicked onto, it talks about Project RISA, not to be confused with RISA, which I did. RISA means a vacation, a journey, but RISA
means giant.
Giant, yeah.
Yeah.
But it went by two code names. The other one, I'm going to sound disjointed because I was writing as fast as he could talk. The other project is Zwerg, Z-W-E-R-G, means dwarf. So this was...
Wait a minute. What does it mean?
Dwarf.
Wharf, as in boats?
No, dwarf, like...
Dwarf, like the seven midgets. Mickey Rooney,
right, yeah.
Billy Barty.
Well, they found the eighth one, Sleazy.
Got it,
He used Sleazy. To be in the White House years ago.
Yes, you will. We'll leave that one
I'm
go.
I'm sorry, boy, that'll shut off a bunch of your viewers.
Well, they'll have to try and figure out which one you mean. How about all of the above?
Well, since Ronald Reagan, we haven't had much in the White House until now.
No, just a lot of degeneracy, perversion, depravity, treason, betrayal, nothing unusual.
Jeez. This complex...
You know, there are 10 pictures of George W. Bush kissing the heads of bald men.
Oh, God.
You probably could have gone all night without hearing that, but he had a yeah. he had a thing about men with bald heads.
Jeez.
You want to know anything else?
Any man, head or otherwise.
Well,
bald,
right.
Nothing.
Right.
Well, my son, I kiss him on the cheek every night when he goes to bed.
Good job.
Yeah, he's my hero, that guy.
There you go.
Anyhow, according to my SEIG agent, SEIG, you know, is S-E-I-G, which means Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group. This one, right now, is deeply embedded in a spook operation that we won't talk about. He said that... Well, this is Eulengebirge. That means Owl Mountain. And not only Poland, but it goes into what's part of Czech Republic now.
Uh-huh.
And he described it as the mother of all underground complexes. The entire complex was home to OKL, and which I don't know what that is, Oberkommando of what. And the other is OKH, which is Oberkommando der Heer, which is the Army High Command. They had massive, as you say, underground transport. They had factories. They have living quarters, had living quarters there. They had, and the one thing that I found was interesting, they had underground transit to Schweidnitz. Remember Schweidnitz? That was the air base.
Uh-huh.
It was surrounded by the Red Army in the closing moments of the war, and that's where Hitler boarded that Ju-390 and flew out. So now we have an idea how he got to Schweidnitz. We don't know for sure, but we're pretty sure that was it.
So you're thinking he was somehow moved to... Owl Mountain, and took the underground transit to the airport at the last minute and got the hell out.
But they had underground rail lines all the way
from Berlin and over
yeah,
there.
By Berlin. So how hard is it to just put him on get him onto a train? And remember, right. According to Don Angel, he was forcibly drugged under orders of Martin Bormann. He and Eva Braun were drugged under orders of Bormann because. Mm-hmm. Bormann was heading for South America. He was going to resurrect the Reichstag there, and he needed Hitler as a figurehead. And then once he got there with this incredible amount of money, he realized he didn't really want to come up with legions again and start another war.
Right.
He started 750 companies, and they didn't need Hitler as a figurehead, so they just stuck him off there in Bariloche. Told him just live long and prosper, and just kind of shuffle him off to the side. So that's most likely how he got out.
Very interesting. We thought he got out through a subway tunnel out of near the bunker in Berlin to an airport there, but maybe not. Maybe this is the way it happened.
Yeah, I don't think... You know, the idea of getting out from an airport there, that was Tempelhof. The Red Army was pretty well in control of that area.
Right.
And even when Hanna Reich flew out, she landed and took off from the from what's called the Alvus, which was a racetrack, and we drive on it every time we go into Berlin. It's part of the highway system now. And when she was taken off, they took heavy ground fire. Her boyfriend, Robert Ritter von Grime, he got hit while they were taken off. So it doesn't make sense that Hitler flew out of an airport there. The only airport they had was Tempelhof. And
right. How about the Blohm & Voss 3 engine?
The BV-138.
Yeah.
We still don't know who was on that one, and unfortunately, my number one spook, Pizarro, passed away a few months ago, and he had that in. I think he might have had that information. But
well, somebody was on it, that's for sure, because it was parked out
was
in the middle.
That's right, yeah. And it landed under heavy ground fire.
Right.
And loaded people up and took off again. So, at any rate, Hitler got to Schweidnitz and got out and went to South America and lived quietly in Bariloche. Actually, the closest town is Villa Langostura. Visha is the way they pronounce villa down there, V-I-L-L-A. Anywhere else is pronounced Via. Down there is Visha. And it's a little town called Langostura, and it's very close to where his estate was.
Uh-huh.
But the main town nearby was Bariloche, and that was down the lake quite a ways from him. So probably, just going from memory, 30 or 40 kilometers from Bariloche around the lake up to Langostura. So he just stayed there, stayed out of trouble, living a quiet life.
10 years there, and then he moved on.
Yeah, 10 years. And when Juan Perón got bounced from power, of course, a lot of the guys from the Third Reich had to run. And he, being a a very prominent figure, had to get to a position of safety in, went into Paraguay and
Cordoba.
Ultimately into Ecuador. Bolivia, sorry.
Well, he went to Cordoba.
Right.
And then did he die in Cordoba?
No, he went up to Cordoba to visit with the Eichhorn family.
And then from there went on further. Paraguay and then up into Bolivia.
Right. Paraguay, holy smoke, we knew that Argentina was a hotbed for people from the Third Reich, mm-hmm. and we're finding out now how incredibly busy Paraguay was. You know, I was there a year ago, and I'm heading back in June. I'm going back there. Just jammed. That's primarily where Mengele was hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
On my website, sharkhunters.com, you go to previous tours, and you see that beautiful old resort built, I'm guessing, 100 years ago, where Mengele used as kind of a base. And that's where the five Mossad agents came to grab him like they did with Eichmann.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out so well. They got their throats slashed and dumped in the jungle.
That hotel, which we've spent time, a great deal of time, looking at photos of on this program, probably was, certainly, possibly was, the central meeting location for all the ex-German high command. It sounds like that's, it was so out of the way.
It was way out of the way.
Yeah.
Surrounded by three sides by heavy, heavy jungle. And that old lady we talked to down there said that she saw Mengele frequently, and she showed us which rooms were his.
Uh-huh.
Room 26, if he's by himself, because it's a single room, or room 28, if he had people with him, because it had a double bed and three single beds. It was a large, large room.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she saw him in meetings there with Bormann, with Hitler, and with Mueller, Gestapo Mueller, mm-hmm. and with Stroessner, the dictator of Paraguay. So, yeah, they had meetings down there. It was so far removed from everything. And even today, to get to that area, you have to drive down what jokingly passes as a highway, way out in the boonies. You can't fly there. There's no airport near it. There's no rail line near it, even today. You got to take this old highway. And, well, the highway's fairly well paved, but like I say, you'll be buzzing down the highway in the middle of nowhere, buzzing along at whatever the speed limit is, and all of a sudden there's a sign saying there's a speed bump ahead. Now, who puts a speed bump in the middle of a highway out in the middle of nowhere? I don't know, but they do it in Paraguay. And these are vicious speed bumps. They go up about 6 inches,
huh,
and they go along about 3 feet, and then they drop 6 inches. And it's pretty harsh up and down.
Why?
I don't know why they do it. Maybe
makes
they
no
had
sense.
Excess material laying around, and they thought they'd make a speed. I don't know why. Boy,
that's worth a trip down there in and of itself. Let's find out.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country, but they haven't adjusted their currency. Like I said, I told you I picked up the tab for lunch, the four of us.
Uh-huh.
It came up to more than a quarter of a million of their pesos, or they call them guarinis, a quarter of a million of them for four people lunch.
That's funny. Well, remember, the Bush family bought 60,000 acres, I don't know, some enormous amount of land.
I heard, I don't know the number, but it's a huge amount.
Right on top
right
of the...
Right next to them Angela Merkel bought right next to them.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just need room to stretch out.
Yeah, that's their go-to getaway. Now, let's go back to the Owl Mountains, and look at this first link is a very good one. I believe just histomilitaria.com, but look at the pictures. There's a beautiful old castle on top of one of the mountains, and underneath that is this complex of, it reminded me of little towns. They're all like towns, almost little town size. It was
exactly what they were.
Yeah. Look at the map of Poland. You'll see the red dots where the various... we're going to go through this, Todd. Thanks. The various complexes, the underground complexes were... They weren't all finished. In fact, probably three-fourths of it wasn't finished. But when they finished it, they did a beautiful job with all of the interior. Everything was concreted or otherwise made to look modern. The rail lines were there. This was going to be an enormous finished underground production complex and geopolitical control nexus for the government. But look how tall those things are in these pictures. They're 30, 40 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. My comments may be disjointed because I was writing as fast as I could, but of course, he was talking faster than I could write. If you look at the map of Poland, you see there, you're looking at it in the upper right corner, you got Świdnica.
Yeah.
That's Polish for Schweidnitz.
Oh, really? Okay, so they ran it.
That's a rail line leading right to it, Schweidnitz.
Interesting.
And you did make the comment, no gold train or anything. Yeah, that's where the gold train was. There was indeed a gold train. But this whole area was taken over by the Russians. And it took them 2 years to get the German soldiers out because they were still fighting for 2 years after the war. They had so much food and ammunition, et cetera, stored up in there. They had blast doors. They had... airlocks to where they couldn't be poisoned. So it took them 2 years to get the people out, but then they came through and my friend was saying, he was laughing, he said, spoils of war, you call that, right? I said, yeah, well, they just stole everything that wasn't nailed down. So there was a gold train in there, and so the guys who were doing research apparently did find credible evidence that there was a gold train there. Was, not no more. The Russians took everything back to Russia. And then, now, something else he was laughing about, and I know the Soviets were this way. I can't say Russians because I have friends in Russia. We have to call them Soviets.
Right.
Weird. A good friend of mine lives in Berlin. He lived in East Berlin, and right across the street from him was West Berlin, and there was a commuter train line that went right by his house. The Soviets ripped up all the rails because they needed the steel. So here in this tunnel complex, they ripped up all the rails because they needed steel, and then they realized, oh, we still got a whole bunch of stuff in here we got to get out. So they had to put the rail lines back in so they could move all their booty out.
Wow.
And it was during the Cold War, it was a huge repository of Soviet weapons and nuclear weapons. In some of the places, they had stored missiles, or they had set them up to where they could fire them.
Wow, interesting. So they continued using this complex long after the war, right into the Cold War.
According to this guy, this agent, and he's been absolutely on the button for everything, everything they needed to survive down there, food, water, everything, munitions, and somehow the Glocka figures in on some of this.
Now, I wanted to find out, because when you scroll down on this page, go past the diagrams. It's the first link under Harry's name. Go past the diagram, then you'll find one video, and the second video shows what looks like Stonehenge, all right, sort of. It's modern concrete. It's a circle, and it's got pillars holding up the top, which is a ring. That's concrete.
Oh, yeah, that's the mouse trap.
You'll see it. They call it the fly trap, mouse trap, whatever.
Okay, fly trap, mouse trap, whatever.
And there is actually a picture somewhere online. I don't know if I sent this to you, but there's a photograph of, it looks real. It's an old photograph, and it looks like what the rumors have, that that object, that concrete, call it an eight-sided whatever, hexagonal, was four. They tied the bell with strong steel cables to the sides and had it in the middle, and then they turned it on. They had to hold it because the energy it was producing, anti-gravity, whatever you want to call it, was so powerful that they built this structure to hold the bell with cables in the center of it when they were turning it on and off, testing it.
Right. They had two. Apparently, they had two centrifuges, one inside the other, contra-rotating, one going clockwise, the other going counterclockwise, and they had a buffering agent in there called Xerum 525, X-E-R-U-M, Xerum 525.
Right.
And they were turning, I've read, 35,000 RPMs. Holy smoke!
Yeah.
That's turning.
Yeah, it is.
And God knows what they built those centrifuges out of, because 35,000 RPMs, if you're a gram out of balance, you're going to have pieces flying all over the place.
Yeah. Now, the bell, the Glocka, was allegedly the power source for the early German flying saucers, discs. That was the power source. That's what people surmise. At least that's one line of thought. But where they got this technology is anybody's guess. It is also said that they had a deal with an off-planet intelligence. They were here, and they were swapping materials and getting assistance. And the whole German UFO program, it remains one of the most intriguing enigmas of the last century. And I've got a lot of photographs that, even if one of them is real, they had them.
Yeah, that's an area I'm not familiar with. I've seen all the stuff you're talking about.
I sent you the pictures.
I can't very well speak on it as an expert, because I'm not.
Did you get my pictures? I sent them once.
How long ago?
Yeah, I don't know. A while back, a year.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got them and I put them into file.
Yeah.
And, summer of 2016, I was over there, And I met with Igor Witkowski, who's a member of Shark Hunters, and he's probably the most knowledgeable guy in the world on Diglaca. He was not a bubbling fountain of conversation.
He still didn't want to talk about it, huh?
Yeah, he didn't say he wasn't going to talk about it, but I'd ask him a big, long question, and I'd get, yes? Well, can you tell me any more about it? Yes. Well, what else? So he was very guarded in his answers. Either that or he didn't understand English as much as I thought he did, but I believe he understood English quite well. He was just being very cautious. He wrote a book called The Truth of the German Wonder Weapons, Pravda der Deutsche Wunderwaffe, which I have. It's a huge book, loaded with stuff, and one whole section is devoted to Diglaca. So that's about the only information he's ready to release, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a hell of a story, and if he does have all this information, I wish he'd publish it, besides just that one section in that one book, because if he knows as much about Diglaca as we do about Hitler's escape, we've written several books about that. He could write several books about Diglaca.
Yeah. It was a bell-shaped thing. For those of you who don't know,
right?
You can look up probably World War II German bell.
It's got to be Nazi bell. The lamestream media has to have Nazi in there somehow.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, Diglaca means the bell.
Okay, let's see what we got here. WW2. I'll just see how it works. German bell. Or the bell. The bell. And yeah, it's there. Here's the first return. The Nazi bell.
Nazi bell, doesn't it?
Of course. And then it says, proof of a Nazi secret. They got two Nazis in one sentence.
I guess they get extra points for that.
Must be. That's a good one, though. Yeah, the Diglaca, the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Clark McClelland believes that the craft that crashed or landed at Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, in the 60s, was actually an advanced version of the bell. It looked like an acorn, and he thinks it was the same kind of thing.
A very big acorn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my guy there, Peter Parker, we call him, told us quite some time ago that the Soviets got away with Diglaca originally, and then in whatever, what was that, 1957 it came down in Kecksburg?
60s.
Oh,
65,
60s, okay.
Something like that.
Then that's how it came back to the U.S. And Clark was there with one other friend.
Yeah.
And they oversaw it loaded onto a truck and headed out. We don't know where, either Wright Pat.
He thinks
Wright
it
Pat
went to Wright. Yeah.
Yeah, Wright Pat was, or maybe still is, a really, really heavy spook place like Area 51.
Right.
Underneath.
Way underneath. So the bell, we think that's what it was. Maybe an advanced version. It landed. It was a controlled landing in 1965, as I said, in Kecksburg. We got it back. I was told by there was one German scientist who was in charge of the Bell project, and he was over here. Clark was sent up to Kecksburg by Dr. Kurt Debus, who was the director of NASA for 13 years.
He was head of the German rocket project.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, all right, we're getting away from the Owl Mountain project here a little bit, but take a good look at these pictures and just imagine, whatever you can imagine, it was bigger than that, okay? The videos that are there, and there's, let's see how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 5 or 6 videos seven, eight, nine videos to look at. And they're well worth looking at. They give you a glimpse of this extraordinary construct under the mountains.
Yeah, it's massive. And Peter Parker said that not only was cities or villages, excuse me, underground, there were villages, cities, towns above ground.
Right.
On top of it, there were regular villages.
Right.
And that's where they're having a problem with another massive complex down, I think it's in Austria, called Bergkristall, which I think translates to Crystal Mountain. I'm not sure if it's in Germany or Austria, but they had villages up on top of these, and this is like a 4 or 5 layer complex, and all of a sudden homes are falling down because, no, without the maintenance, some of these tunnels are collapsing, and parts of the village above drops down, so there's unpleasantries there. So,
what else did he tell you about the Owl Mountain complex?
Well, he also said it was set up a lot like the new Denver airport, and that you would know all about the Denver airport project.
Yeah, the Denver airport, again, is a cover, physical cover, for an enormous, apparently underground complex that has linked up to the coast-to-coast network of underground tunnels, high-speed transit. It certainly goes up into the mountains west of Denver and probably goes through these transit tunnels all the way to the coast, both coasts. So it's kind of the nexus where a lot of people will be flying into because they can get to underground security through the various entrances that are apparently scattered around the airport grounds and inside the building. So it's a major nexus for the New World Order, the Denver airport. The murals in there are clearly globalist in their persuasion. They're pretty gross, pretty violent. So you have to keep that in mind, too, when you're in there. That airport is strange. But underground is where all the action is.
Yeah, he said you would know all about it.
Well, I know a little bit, and I've done many programs on it over the years. The murals kind of tip it off. It is a globalist enterprise, and it is probably connected to multiple underground tunnels, transit, that can come there and go there and do, in fact, back and forth, bringing people and moving people around the country. There's a huge underground tunnel complex all over North America. Oh, I had a breaking story today. Now, this is a weird one. It's up at the top of Rents. If you go look, it's the first big splash story up there. And it has to do with a reporter in Washington State put in a FOIA request. He was doing research on Antifa and some other organizations. And he got back what we think was an intentional or an accidental leak of documents from the federal government, which should not have been released. They indicate without any question that what I've been saying, I'm not the only one, what I've been pounding on for years and years and years is that they have psychoelectronic mind control weapon systems that can control individuals, groups of people, masses of people. We are electrical beings first. So we've been telling you for years that when you see somebody holding a cell phone up to their head, they're collecting the energy, energetically speaking, from the cell phone grid into their smartphone, and it goes right into their brain. They are literally holding their own device of their mind control to their heads. This is a story that is going to run for days. You watch, it's already beginning to burst out now. I put it up there several hours ago. Mass individual and group psychoelectronic mind control has been revealed. This stuff is 20, 30 years ahead of where anybody would ever guess. Here are a couple of quotes from the article, the lead article. Other pages in the document depict supposed forms of the technology, including mass and individual remote mind control via the mobile phone network, the cell phone grid, and mobile phones or smartphones, as well as, quote, individual and group remote mind control via black helicopter carrying psychotronic weapons. And then it goes on into another area, which has to do with satellites, a van parked across or down the street from your house. But you see all these cell phone towers up. They're not up there simply for communications. These are mind control devices. And then I've got a picture up of 7 different satellites that can cover all of North America and issue mind control directives to groups, people. They can single somebody right out. Here's the last quote I'll read. The psychoelectronic weapon supposedly can effectuate forced memory blanking and induced erroneous actions. In other words, they can control you and you can do things that you would never do normally, all right?
like drive your car into a culvert?
Like that, yeah. Or go into a high school and start shooting. Right, that's all mind control stuff. The reading and broadcasting of thoughts are also involved here. The reading and broadcasting of thoughts. So your thoughts are not necessarily your own. And I've been saying this forever. Another one. Forced manipulation of airways, including externally controlled forced speech. You may not be speaking words that you want to speak. All right?
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah. Well, it's all there, and you read it, and if you want to dismiss it, fine. It doesn't matter to me. It's there, and I believe the proof is overwhelming and has been around for a long time that this kind of technology is deployed, and that's why, for example, there aren't mass uprisings in Europe when they're being invaded by these third world Arab and black Africans who are raping, killing, pillaging, and yet the people will do nothing to protect themselves. Why? Because they're being electromagnetically and psychotronically instructed not to. To be passive.
I thought it was because the police were there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do I know? Hey, you do this all the time. I don't.
Yeah. Well, I would urge all of you to take a look at this story. I've got 3 or 4 stories under it to read. This was either an intentional accident by somebody working in the government who wanted this out, or somebody blundered and let it out. But it is amazing confirmation of what we've been postulating and pushing for years. Your thoughts, your speech, Harry, can be externally directed. Okay?
Well, this agent was telling me he is into heavy, heavy geopolitical stuff with the agency he's with, but we know we're headed for a cashless society. But he said this was devised back in the 60s.
Sure.
By Alan Greenspan.
Right.
Who's still alive, apparently.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the internet and how they could transfer money by sliding a plastic card, etc. This was back in the 60s.
Well, can you spell cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, all the rest of them? These are all just precursors to where it's going.
You'll have a card,
and that card will be your wallet, and however many coins or whatever they're going to end up calling them you have will be in your wallet. And that's it. That's cryptocurrency is not going away.
No, he said it's going to be the thing.
That's it. That's right.
And I think I never should have got rid of my sailboat years and years ago. My family and I should be bouncing around in the Caribbean where nobody can watch you.
Oh, they can watch you everywhere. Here,
or nobody would care. Let's put it that way.
There's nowhere to hide. None. No.
Anyhow, as a comparison, getting back to Owl Mountain, the... And you direct this whichever way you want to go. Under Berg Crystal, which was a huge complex, Berg Crystal was 5 square miles. Owl Mountain Complex is 100 square miles underground.
Wow.
And, yeah. And after the USSR took it over, they still ran heavy, heavy production under there.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, they it took them 2 years to oust the German protectors in there, and they were using their Mongolian troops, the same ones they sent into East Germany to rape all the women, a gang rape, and to shoot all the defenseless civilian men. And so after 8th of May, which was the capitulation, they fought for 2 years.
Nobody knows about this. That's remarkable.
Right, we're not supposed to know. That's why history is being taken away from us over in Europe. Mm-hmm. World War what? Adolf who?
Mm-hmm.
Who incidentally was born on this day in 1889. And here they're taking away all the Confederate history. They got to erase your history first before they can take you over. And the gold train was there, but not in recent times. It was there after the end of the war, and the Soviets made
short work of that. Yeah, right.
It was a logistical hub, huge, huge, massive halls for storage. It was an underground, gigantic warehouse complex, as well as, you know, the factory. They had truck docks. They had rail lines in and out. They could store the entire Reich annual production in there. It was a telecommunications hub, post office hub. The Soviets had a large stash of nuclear weapons in there. So, you know, the Cold War could have been real unpleasant.
That is interesting. I didn't know that the Russians went in there under the Soviet regime and utilized it. It makes perfect sense. Of course they would. You just don't think about those things. I didn't know about Owl Mountain until about a year ago. And
well, I was supposed to go there a few years ago, but then I found out that even my looking lost and saying, geez, isn't this the way to the Reaper Bond? That wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled that down yonder hillbilly talk when I'm in places I'm not supposed to be and the police come. Golly, Sheriff, I thought this was the way to the cafe. And then they throw me out. But this is military. They don't buy that I'm lost routine. You know, you could very easily get shot.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been shot. I shot a guy once. He looked like he was in a hell of a lot of pain, and I don't want to experience that. So this was also a huge hub for the oil production coming up out of Romania, and the corn and wheat production coming out of Ukraine. And it was all a big hub there at Owl Mountain.
That's amazing. Nothing really left in there today. When the Soviets pulled out, they took everything out with them. There's a few German relics left there, but not many.
And there's a lot of areas you can't even go into because maybe a couple of hundred feet back from the entrance, they built a wall,
right,
and then they dynamite the entrance. So in other words, they kept the integrity of the interior, but blocked the entrance.
There may be things going on in there right now. It may still be being used. We don't know.
Oh,
I would expect
that
it probably is.
Me.
Yeah. Most records of the project, of course, they were destroyed at the end of the war. Soviets destroyed them.
And then the records of the Soviets in there, that's gone back to Russia, and you're never going to see them either.
Right. Right. Fascinating.
Quite a place, yeah.
The dynamited entrances, again, suggest that there was a reason to want to cut off access to what was inside.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure. There were about 14,000 prisoners working on it during the war, 43 to 45, and then that was the end of it. Three of the tunnel systems plus the underground facilities at the castle have been opened for public viewing. So they do have a big tourist thing there if you go to Poland for any reason. You can view them, I guess, with guides, of course. The other tunnels are the least finished, they say, and too dangerous to open for tourists. But you know how talk
they
is.
They always say it's dangerous.
Yes, yes. So,
and I notice on these sketches here on the website that you had called up, all the collapsed part of the tunnels is at the entrance. Imagine that.
Isn't that funny?
No other part collapses, only the entrance.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Remarkable, remarkable things that few people know about. But do look at the links, look at the videos, take a look at the pictures, and it's just fascinating to see what kinds of things went on under the ground. And imagine, this is 70 plus years ago now, 72, 73 years, 74 years.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what we have under the ground. That's why I mentioned these tunnels. We have underground tunnel boring machines that can probably move 10 to 15 miles a day. They're apparently nuclear powered. They melt the rock in front of them. They turn it into a kind of like a glass-like substance, and it dries on the walls of the tunnel. It makes a perfect tube under the ground. Then they come right along behind and lay rails for any kind of transit that they're using. I don't know what they're using, maglev, whatever. And they can go coast to coast at probably subsonic, maybe even supersonic speeds. We don't know. But if it's, let's say, 700 miles an hour, you can get across.
Close to supersonic.
Yeah, you can get across country in 5 hours, which is faster than going to LAX and waiting in line and going through all the crap and then flying east. We have things underground that are just astonishing.
Yeah, and it's not really American. It's
no, it's
global.
International globalism is what it is. Zionist globalist hegemonistic banksters. Back in a minute with Harry Cooper. Hold on.